Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
I sometimes wonder about curious things, like who was the first person that figured out that caterpillars and butterflies were the same critter? Because that's not immediately obvious when you look at them. And you'd have to, you know, watch and observe for a while before you figured that out. This is why people ended up believing in strange things like spontaneous generation and spontaneous combustion and all kinds of stuff, because it really doesn't make sense when you look at a caterpillar to extrapolate from that that there's going to be a butterfly on the other side. And it certainly doesn't make sense when you observe a cocoon or a chrysalis that there might be a butterfly or a moth that emerges from that seemingly dead piece of dried material. So I wonder about that, and I wonder how long it took to make that observation and to draw that connection. In fact, they look so dissimilar, and people can take so long to make those connections that I myself have some strange history with understanding exactly about caterpillars and butterflies, but that's a story for another time, and you'll literally have to come back next week to hear that one and hear how wrong I was about butterflies and caterpillars, and I'll embarrass myself then and share that with you. So a little spoiler alert. I wonder about things like that. That's part of who I am. They certainly don't look the same. And I'm you know, used to things. I think we're all used to things that are the same looking the same. We're not expecting transformation and radical change. We're not comfortable with it when it does come. Another of the things I wonder about is how in the world does Mary not recognize Jesus when he's standing right behind her, speaking with her? This is a really pivotal person in her life. This is someone she's been following around literally for years, hanging on his every word, listening to what he has to say, letting those words and his teachings and his way of being sink into her and change her life. And yet he's standing right there and she doesn't even recognize him. This causes me extreme confusion. I don't understand this part. And she's not the only one, because it happens other times too. The Gospel of Luke recounts that later that same day, a couple of Jesus' followers are on their way, walking along the road to Emmaus, just having a conversation, and Jesus shows up and starts walking along with them, and they have no idea who he is. How is that possible? Even if they weren't his closest disciples, even if they were people that were like way back in the crowd at the Sermon on the Mount, kind of like looking from afar, wouldn't they recognize him? He was kind of a central figure for them. And if they didn't recognize him just sort of physically when he showed up, how about when he starts explaining the Bible to them, explaining the scriptures, the sacred stories of their own people to them? And you know, they're talking about the amazing events of the last few days, and he says, yeah, but you see how this goes along with what God's been telling people throughout time? You see how this fits in with prophecy? And what, I mean, that's sort of stuff that Jesus did all the time, isn't it? They don't recognize him, not till he does something really familiar, which is break bread. But you'll have to come back in a couple of weeks for that one, and we'll do that later. But they don't recognize him. And I begin to wonder if maybe this Jesus that we encounter on the other side of the tomb looked or acted different. This Jesus that we encounter in the resurrection looks and acts differently than the one before, in some way. Because how else would people not recognize him? I mean, I don't mean that he goes from a caterpillar to a butterfly. He doesn't seem to have wings. Although he ascends later. That's another story, too. That's several weeks from now. A lot of foreshadowing going on this morning. But there's something about him that's changed, that's been transformed. There's something about him that is not the stuff of his life before, and that is also not the stuff of the grave. That's clearly part of the problem, is that everybody expects him to be dead. Everybody expects him to be completely gone. And so seeing him is jarring. It means that something has changed in the way the world works, not just in the way Jesus works. It seems impossible for new life to spring forth from the tomb, far, far more impossible than it is for a butterfly to emerge from its chrysalis. And so maybe because new life and transformation seems so impossible, that's part of why it's hard for us to recognize it when it happens. We're all wrapped up in cocoons. We're all hidden and closed off in tombs. Some of them are of our own making. Some are from the circumstances of our lives around us. We are more accustomed to the cocoon and to the tomb than we are to the butterfly and than we are to the risen Christ, quite often in our lives. And yet, I have seen people who have emerged from those tombs and have emerged from those cocoons to live into new, transformed life, resurrected life. They sometimes look different. They often act very differently. The person who has been living with addiction and then begins to live into recovery, a long journey taken step by step, day by day. The person who breaks free and names their sexual orientation that they have long hidden and kept secret. The survivor who emerges from a relationship of abuse or control and spreads those tentative wings for freedom. The person who's lived beneath the weight of shame or stigma their whole life long and finally leaves those grave clothes behind. The one bent over by pain or illness who finds healing and can leap, metaphorically, maybe even literally, for joy. The person who has suffered more griefs than any one person should ever have to bear, who finds a measure of comfort in the passage of time and one day laughs again. They look different. We look different on the other side of transformation when we are finally able to break out of the cocoon, when the wrappings of the grave and the shell of the chrysalis fall away and we prepare to spread our wings. Imagine Mary and the disciples still in the throes of shock and loss at Jesus' sudden and violent death, still feeling not only that their friend, but their hope has been ripped away, suddenly encountering new life and new hope, new joy. No wonder it's hard to recognize at first. I bet that they looked different. I bet Mary looked different when she went running back to the disciples to tell them what she had seen. I bet the first disciples that heard of it and shared it among themselves, wondering, looked differently at each other and looked different to each other than when they had set out that morning. The resurrection promise doesn't just transform Jesus. It transforms all of his followers. It changes the disciples. It changes us too. This Easter season and in the season ahead that is unfolding before us, we are going to explore, we are invited, we are called to shed our cocoons and to break open the tombs that we hide in. For Christ has already cracked them open for us. Christ has already opened the whole world to new life. And then when we stretch our wings and reach for the sky, what witness will we bear to transformation? What witness will we bear to the risen Christ? It will be glorious. Alleluia. Amen.